ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
My students' reactions don't surprise me. I started asking if war will ever end almost 20 years ago during the U.S. invasion of Iraq. Since then, I've polled thousands of people of all ages and political persuasions in the U.S. and elsewhere, and 9 out of 10 people say war is inevitable. This fatalism is understandable. The U.S. has been at war nonstop since 9/11. Although American troops left Afghanistan last year after 20 years of violent occupation, the U.S. still maintains a global military empire spanning 80 countries and territories. Russia's invasion of the Ukraine reinforces our sense that when our war ends, another begins. Fatalism pervades our culture. In The Expanse, a sci-fi series I'm reading, a character describes war as madness that's in our nature. It flares up and it subsides, but never vanishes for good. I'm afraid that as long as we're human, he says, war will be with us. Ending war won't be easy, but it should be a moral imperative, as much so as ending slavery and the subjugation of women. The first step toward ending war is believing it is possible. You know, I find it interesting. His solution is the first step to ending war is believing it is possible. In September of this year, I believed the Chicago Bears were going to win their division. Believing did not help, did it? Just because you believe something doesn't mean it's going to happen. What is that belief based in? And for him, nothing, right? I think the character in The Expanse had it right. Madness, that's in our nature. It's called the sin nature. That's the problem. Yeah, I don't know if you remember this. Some of you are too young. But back in the late 60s, early 70s, you know, the hippie movement. What was their big slogan? Make love, not war. How did that work out? Well, if you really look at what happened within that culture, they fought amongst each other. They didn't get along. They were at war with each other. They wanted to make love, not war, but the exact opposite happened. Why? Because of the heart. You see, there's the problem. We want to stop all these problems. And we think if we get the right leaders in office or we have this global government, we'll be able to stop war. Are you kidding me? Well, there is one global government that will. It's called the government of Jesus Christ when he comes back. But we'll deal with that in a minute. There will be no peace in this world until we first make peace with God. And there's the problem. People don't want to make peace with God. They just want peace in this world. And it doesn't happen like that. When man makes peace with God, then and only then can there be peace with their fellow man and peace on earth. Why did Jesus come the first time? Why was he born to die and go to the cross of Calvary for our sin, right? Sin separated man from God. That's what we're told in Isaiah 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is his ear heavy that he cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Sin separates. And how is that sin manifested in the lives of mankind? Well, again, in Isaiah 59, as Isaiah continues on in verses 3 through 8, he tells us, and it's not a pretty picture. For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has muttered perversity. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. They hatch viper's eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their eggs dies, and from that which is crushed a viper breaks out. Their webs will not become garments, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. Now, it's not a pretty picture, nor is it intended to be. It's a reality. Man apart from God, lost in his sins, he walks in darkness and not the light of God. And so this is what's manifested in their lives, this evil, this darkness. It's what we see going on today. Look at what they were approving of. They approved of violence, of murder, their hands. They were doing evil towards people, justifying themselves. Not just physical violence, but the words they spoke were lies, destroyed people's lives. Their words that flowed from their lips were evil and perverse. And they're not calling for justice. Why? Because they like the lifestyle that they're living. They enjoy living in this sin. They're not interested in the truth. Why? Because they're comfortable with the lies. I was just talking with someone today. Isn't it interesting how we call good evil and evil good today? And we're comfortable with it. The most perverse thing, the most outrageous thing, we love to flaunt. And we think it's fine. And they're trusting in these empty words, but they're not going to save them. And they had no fear of God. And that's really the reality today. They did what they pleased. Isaiah continued on in verses 9 and 10 of Isaiah 59. Therefore, justice is far from us, nor does righteousness overtake us. We look for light, but there is darkness. For brightness, but we walk in blackness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as at twilight. We are as dead men in desolate places. You know, yeah, it's fun for a time, but look at what happened in Minnesota with all that violence a few years back, right? They let it just run rampant, the burning of buildings and all. And then when it got so out of control, what do? Oh, we need help here. We need the government to bail us out because all the stuff, destruction, you didn't stop it. You see, it was fun for a time, but sometimes it gets too late. How do you stop something that is out of control? The first step here is to receive the good tidings, to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And he brings peace to you, into your life. Not a peace in this world necessarily, not yet. And again, yes, when we think of peace, we think of an absence of trouble. Life is going smoothly. How many of you are living a life that is just smooth, no problems at all? None of you? What is wrong with you people? Of course not. Why? We live in this world. It's a sin-filled world. There's problems. There's health issues, job issues, family issues, all kinds of things. But you know what? The creator of heaven and earth, when you make peace with him, he gives you a peace that can surpass all understanding. He gives you a peace in your heart where you can get a good night's rest. Paul said in Philippians, be anxious for nothing, but everything with prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which guards your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus, right? Our hearts are our emotions. When we're fearful, when we lose hope, when we're anxious, when we're worried, aren't our emotions like out of control? God says, I can give you peace. What about our mind? Oh, try and sleep at night when you're worried, right? Oh, what am I going to do? How am I going to handle this? And your mind's running 240. You can't even sleep. God says, I want to give you a peace of mind. I'm going to be with you always. I'll never leave you or forsake you. And I will see you through these difficult times. Does the shepherd lead the sheep through the valley of the shadow of death? Absolutely he does. There are dangerous places. But where is he taking them to? A mountaintop where there's times of refreshment. And God does that in our lives. We go through times that are very difficult. I remember there's several times in my life, you know, things were like in the church, everything's running smoothly. I'm like, oh, this is so awesome. Everything is just, it's like a well-oiled machine. And then like instantaneously, it seems, it wasn't, but it seems, things are like out of control. What's going on? Oh, I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death. Why? Because I need to keep my eyes on the shepherd. All the stuff that's going on around me, I don't have that control. But he does, and I need to follow him through these times. And the same is true in your life. That peace of mind, that peace of emotions is found in Jesus. But here's the wonderful news. You know, yes, we make peace with Jesus. And we've got peace now with God. Peace in our lives. But one day, you know what? There's going to be peace on earth. We don't see that today. In fact, we see it look really bad out there. But there is coming a time where there's going to be peace on earth. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But the outward peace will not come unless you make peace with Jesus. You surrender to his will. And there is coming a day when there's going to be peace on earth. Look at verse 13 here in Luke chapter 2. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So here's this angel. He brings forth this good news to these shepherds. It's like heaven couldn't hold back anymore. You know, I could see them just trying to, oh, got to hold on a little longer. And all of a sudden they just break forth, right? And I know it says in your Bibles, glory to God in the highest and on earth goodwill toward men. That's really not correct. What it should say is glory to God in the highest and on earth peace towards men of goodwill. Or glory to God in the highest and peace among men with whom he is pleased. The peace of God, I'm sorry to say, is not for everyone. It's for those who have come into a relationship with Jesus. Who's God pleased with? Those who believe in him. And it's just not an acknowledgement of who he is. The demons know that who God is. They're not saved. It's giving your life to him. In fact, Jesus said in John 6:29, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. There it is. That's the work that God has for us, that you believe. It all starts with belief. And it's not given, this God's peace, to those who have goodwill, nor to all, but those who are recipients of God's goodwill, his favor. In fact, Isaiah 48:22 says, there's no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. For the unsaved, they're not going to find the peace they're looking for. I'm not saying they don't try to find it or they try to accomplish it in their lives. It's just not going to be there because in this world, we don't have that kind of peace yet. But we can have peace with God, and that peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts and minds when we come into a relationship with him. And I love what Jesus said in John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Where's our peace found? In Jesus. We need to keep reminding ourselves of that. Because if you're anything like me, things are going okay and things are not going okay. And then your mind is already focused on all these other things. And Jesus says you need to focus back on me. Because that's the only place you're going to find peace. But there is coming a peace that will fill this land. And I'll just share with what it'll be like during the kingdom age when Jesus rules and reigns from Jerusalem. Isaiah 2 verses 1 through 4. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Can you imagine that? We long for the day. But until then, our peace is found in Jesus. I know man keeps trying to work things out to play nice with each other, but because of man's heart, it doesn't work. The heart is wicked. And, you know, one writer said, men yearn for peace, but they will not acknowledge the hopelessness of their efforts to achieve it. It's only when the word of the Lord goes forth from Jerusalem, when he himself is reigning over the nations, that lasting peace will come. Absolutely. And it's not just peace among men, it's peace worldwide, even with the animal kingdom. Again, Isaiah 11, verses 6 through 9. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. the cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This is the reign of the King, of Jesus. And no longer are there predators among the animals. They'll probably be herbivores once more, like they were when they were created, even man. You know, leopards don't lie down with a calf unless they're eating it, right? But in the kingdom age, they're all going to get along. And God gave man all the herb of the fields, all the green, every tree whose fruit yields seed for food when he created man. Even to the beast, he says, I gave that to them. But sin entered the world. And sometime after that, or right after the flood, I think it was sometime after sin entered the world, animals degenerated into carnivorous animals, meat eaters. And then after the flood, Genesis 9, God says man can eat meat. It's not just the green herbs anymore. And all of creation is waiting for this day when God comes back. I find that interesting. We long for the day. And here's the thing. Man is reconciled to God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, on the cross of Calvary. And here in the kingdom age, peace is going to fill the land. Can you imagine a 1,000-year reign of Christ? And if there's any trouble, Jesus deals with it immediately. I mean, it's not like he's going to, you got a court system. Hey, you did this. He's going to deal with it. But no more wars, no more fighting, no more evil. I don't know what the news shows are going to do, because that's all they feed on, right? But peace on earth. Here's the thing. Did Jesus promise us peace, or did he offer us peace? They may be thinking I'm splitting hairs here. I'm not. What did he say? Well, John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. In me you may have peace. What does that mean? It's a choice, right? I'm going to either follow what Jesus is saying. I'm going to trust him as my good shepherd, even though I'm going through this valley of the shadow of death and I don't like it. I'm going to trust him because he's the good shepherd. And I can enjoy peace in the midst of the difficult times I'm going through. That's what I need to hear. I don't know if that's what you need to hear, but that's what I need to hear. Because when I'm going through difficult times, it's easy to get distracted, as I've said. Again, not a promise of peace, but you can receive it if you want it. It's up to you. What the world has for you, I guarantee you, their peace is empty. But the peace that Jesus gives us surpasses all understanding. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Wow. Do you believe that? Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. Do we believe that no matter what comes our way? What does 2023 have for us? I have no clue. But I know who does. The Lord does. So can I trust in him that no matter what the world may throw at us or at me, that I can have peace through these times and be used to bring glory and honor to him and to share the good tidings of Jesus with the people of this world? Here's the thing. The most important birth in all of history is when God became flesh and dwelt among us. The Savior's born, right? It's as simple as that. That is the most important birth in history. My children are next. Well, maybe my grandchildren and then my children. I don't know. But this is exactly what mankind needed, a Savior to save them from their sins. They couldn't do this on their own. But God paid in full the penalty for our sins. I mean, if I'm already guilty, if I'm already a sinner, how can I make myself less a sinner? I can't. And I need a Savior, someone to save me, and that's Jesus. And yes, you know, when the angel stood before the shepherds who were out in the fields, the shepherds fear. They feared what was going on. But God doesn't want us to be fearful. So the angel brings what? Good tidings. The gospel message. And as we said, The separation of man from God because of sin has been reconciled through Jesus Christ. And we can enjoy the peace, that fellowship with God through Jesus. And then we talked about what was coming next. Peace on earth. When he returns to set up his kingdom. And I don't know where any of you are at this morning. Maybe you're depressed. Maybe you're discouraged, in despair. Maybe you're wondering, you know, how you can know peace or happiness when you got some difficult things going on in your life. I don't know if any of you are familiar with the song by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day." It was written on Christmas Day back in 1863. And you may not know a lot about this man, but during this year he was in a deep depression. What happened? What happened to bring this Christian into this depression? Well, the Civil War was raging on. His son ran away to join the Union Army. In a battle, his son was severely wounded. His wife, Frances, died in a fire 3 years earlier. And it's Christmas time. And so this is weighing heavy upon his heart. So he tried to pull himself out of this depression. He began to write. And these are the words he wrote. "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play. And wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men." So as he's reflecting on all this, all that he's going through, the war, the death toll, all that's happened to his family, this is what he continued to write. "And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the sun of peace on earth. Goodwill to men." That's not a very hopeful song, right? Not very encouraging, not very promising. But Longfellow didn't end it there. If he did, that would be very discouraging. But he focused on God and his word, and he ended with these words. "Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doeth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men." Those words helped to bring him out of that depression. He understood that God was in control. He's still on the throne, and no matter what's going on, no matter what he was going through, God was with him, because God's not dead. God was working. And I guess this morning I'll challenge you that no matter where you're at this morning, no matter what you're going through, God is not dead. I would encourage you to get into his word and remember the precious promises that he has towards you. None of us are without difficulty in our lives. There is not a single person here that says, "Hey, I've never had a problem in my entire life." You're a liar. We all do. How do we handle it is the key. Do we bring it to the Prince of Peace? Or do we try to deal it with ourselves? If we try to handle it on our own, it's not going to be too helpful. When we bring it to God, we can rest in his word and his promises to us and have that peace that surpasses all understanding. And I'll leave you with this promise from God in Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward and even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Keep in mind, we use this for at Christmas time, the birth of Christ, right? "For unto us a child is born." But it's looking also into the future when Jesus is going to rule and reign, when the government will be upon his shoulder. We can have peace with God right now through Jesus Christ, and we can have a peace that surpasses all understanding, looking for a time when Jesus Christ will rule and reign from Jerusalem and peace will fill this land. Never negate his promises and look to the Good Shepherd to lead you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus, that God became flesh and dwelt among us for the sole purpose of going to the cross of Calvary and paying in full the penalty for our sins. And I pray for everyone here this morning, those listening on the radio, the internet, that no matter what they're going through, Lord, that they would look to you to receive your peace and your comfort during the times, the struggles that they are having or maybe will have down the road. You know, Lord. And we just pray, help us to keep our eyes on the Good Shepherd, because he's the one that leads us, not only through the valley of the shadow of death, those difficult times, but up to the mountaintop where we can rest and find refreshment and encouragement before we go back down into the valley of the shadow of death to learn some more. Thank you, Lord, for being our God. And we just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with his sustaining word.